This is OTB Sports Radio, Thursday Night Football with John Giles.
When you lose a big match like that, you have to soak that up. But to go into a dressing room and say you're celebrating to be disrespectful, I mean, who is Mourinho to talk about disrespect?
The best analysis of all the week's football from Ireland's number one football man.
Pogba's a social media star. Right, he appeals to the young people now. He does his dance, he has his hair and all that. That's all he's worried about, in my opinion. Not worried about being a great player, Nate.
John Giles. Every Thursday at 7:30 p.m. on OTB Sports Radio, live 24/7 on the Go Loud app. The OTB Podcast Network.
Okay, always very happy to welcome our next guest to the show. David Brady is with us, and he's out promoting a new show, AIB's The Toughest Summer, is available to watch now. Obviously, down the years, they've done the toughest. That hasn't been quite possible, I would suspect, for obvious reasons. So The Toughest Summer is 5 webisodes. There's going to be a full feature-length documentary on RTE later on in August. And David's episode is going to be available to watch on Thursday. So if you go to youtube.com/AIB, you'll be able to watch it there. DB, how you doing? Good to see you, man.
Joe, buddy, how's things? Been a while.
You had Lake Regale last year. Now you're on The Toughest Summer. Can you just not get enough of being the star of television shows? What's the story here?
We've had some difference, buddy, between... Remember the time I was into you in the studio?
For Lake Regale?
Yeah, it was like the 7th or 8th of March. It was like 2 or 3 weeks before it came out. And God, how life has changed for all of us.
Little did we know.
Little did we know. And look at, man says, when we're reeling through the years again, we're going, this is, yeah, it was different. And for me, look at, it's been a great last 4 or 5 months. Great because I'm healthy. My family is healthy. The people around me are healthy. And that's a very important thing. And when I was approached about the documentary on the toughest summer from regards GAA context, I was very cognizant that it wasn't going to be in any way reflective to what certain people have went through through the COVID pandemic and lost loved ones.
So certainly from my perspective, I know you popped up once or twice at the start of this thing where you were talking about making phone calls to people who might be lonely or in need in some way. That, I presume, is what this is about. This documentary is about that experience for you.
Yeah. And again, I suppose the big thing for me was that I was in the midst of something during COVID that started with a telephone. Started with a request. And it was a request from a son to me about his father that was cocooning in Wicklow. Finding it tough. Like we all did, we all had tough days, but he was getting through it. But there was that isolation, and he wondered, would there be any chance that I could make a call to him? And I made a call to Tom. And from that, I have to say, I had a firm focus for the next 3 or 4 months that I asked people, if you have somebody, a mother or father, that are finding it hard, cocooning and isolating on their own. And by Jesus, we were all on our own in certain times in our own houses in the March, April and Mays of the summer. And I made the first call, and I made hundreds after that. And this story that has been done with Ross Whittaker, who is an award-winning documentary maker, and I had heard of him, I never worked with him, and Ross had done the Katie Taylor documentary. He actually, as serendipity has it, not serendipity, but unfortunately the passing of Jack Charlton, he also did the Boys in Green, I think it was the documentary that was shown again there on the 2 or 3 days that Jack passed. So he followed my story and parts of my journey through the conversations, good to talk to EA over the summer. And it was nice because, you know what it did? It put it into reality for me. And the reality was that Tom, that the guy I made the first call in Wicklow, I got to meet him and I got to see him and I got to even understand him a bit more and him understand me and what we're about and what GAA meant. And it was lovely, absolutely lovely that I could put a face to what was one phone call that spanned every province, most counties in the country, and to a number of countries across the world that I talked to people in over the 3.5-4 months.
And when you threw it out there, if you need somebody who needs a phone call, get in touch with me, what was the reaction like?
Oh, Jesus. There was a lot. And I'm going, yeah. And again, you have to be saying, Jesus, that's coming through there now. And that's another one. I was going. Then it was like, and again, as word got out, and do you know what the word is? And I'm telling you this, John, it wasn't the word. It was the positivity that it generated. The feel good vibe of a simple phone call. To say, you know what? It's not about changing the world, but we can change someone's day by pressing a number and pressing a button and saying, how you doing? David Brady here. I played for Mayo for 14 years and I'm just ringing to say, how are you keeping? How's things? And would you talk about a GA? After that, Joe, and you're very skillful and one of the best at your job, but a very much important part of your job is to listen.
Sure.
That's what I did. I listened to people and I made a comment and I sat back and I listened, because the need to talk right then was massive from an individual's perspective, because there had no one else to talk to. And it just exploded, absolutely exploded. And the positive, and people that were never called started having positivity about the phone calls and hearing about the stories of them, and the what people did was to say, you know what, if we can talk and we can listen, we can be better people. And that's what I was over the last 3 or 4 months, a better person.
I presume there was a spectrum to the calls. Some of them were superficial and just about GAA and how's the weather and good to talk to you, and others must have went places you couldn't have foreseen.
I'm telling you, John, I couldn't. To say some of them were superficial, I probably was stunned every time I came off a bloody call, because I'm going, something is wrong here when every call is as good as the last and the next was better than the one previous. And it wasn't that there was, yes, but it just, there was no call that was anything less than 15 or 20 minutes. And some of them, I think my longest call was an hour and 42.
Right.
And that was with Chris. And at the end of it, Chris said, he said, oh, Jesus, I feel bad we haven't talked about football. And we didn't. But sure, what is football? Football is part of our lives. Mm. And part of our lives is the stories of friends and journeys and experiences. And that's what we talked. And it was without doubt, a very memorable call with Chris on that. But it's people were not afraid to talk. And these are people in 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, 94 years of age, are the oldest man I talked. And I'm going, it's so important. But yes, the conduit and the I suppose the litmus for the conversations were football. Mm. But it was them telling me about the good times, the fun. And it wasn't all about all earning medals. It wasn't Mayo people. It was people from Belfast, Kerry, Limerick, Galway, Cork, Dublin. It was all over, all encompassing. And it was nice to document briefly and as part of the documentary that what the GAA really means to people and how much they missed it. By just the, you know what, it's like something else. It's often when something you lose something that you really miss it. And I think we've all lost something, and we've realized that it's not about the silverware. It's not about the steps. It's about the moments and the people you share them with and what it does for you. And often the people are just want to talk about life.
I was just going to say, yeah, there's loneliness is a scourge, isn't it? Especially for that age group.
It is loneliness. But what it is what else do you talk about? I look at my life. And now, man says, the common denominator is sport. Hmm. Whether it's GAA or rugby or soccer or something. that sport is a common person's language. And we're all common people because we have something in common, and it's sport. And for me, it was GAA. And it was lovely. It was lovely and enlightened me and given me a lot of things to learn. And I won't be just hanging up the phone at any time soon, because it's very important in my mind that I learn from it and take and bring something out of it as well.
It's an amazing thing to do, you know, and when you think about it, I know it is something simple, but to an amazing thing to do on your part, but also an amazing experience for you, because there is something very intimate about a phone call sometimes. And then you're talking to a complete stranger and they might be telling you about stuff they wouldn't tell lots of people in their world.
And they said that to me, Joe. They said, I'm talking to you now, but I wouldn't tell my family.
So what kind of stuff came up? What kind of stuff were you privileged to hear? And obviously you're not, you know, nobody's privacy. I don't want to impact on anyone's privacy. No. But you must have found yourself hearing things that you never expected to hear. So I'm curious as to what kind of things maybe stuck with you, stuff that they wouldn't be telling the next door neighbour.
I suppose loss was a very common thread. And loss of people that was special to them, that shared special times and special journeys. Whether it's a man in Rathdowt that went to the length and breadth of the country with his friend, Jimmy was his name. For 35 years, these men went highways and byways of the GAA world together. And Jimmy died some years past. And now the man that I was talking to, his sight is failing. But he could come back to them journeys. And more or less how much, again, Jimmy meant to him. Now, the kids were on part of that journey. Because the man's son that I was talking to, or got in contact with me, was telling them how much they remember the two father, their father and his friend, traveling to games, and them in the back seat, and they part of the big days. And from another man that I talked to, that loved people, especially the people that he taught. He was a teacher for 40-something years. And how special these kids were to him. He's no family, was never married. His niece contacted me and said he's a special man to her. And he was. But he was so special to his pupils for 41 years. And I don't know would anyone ever say a bad word about him. But when he retired, he went through hell. Because he knew nothing else in his life for 41 years but teaching and how to converse and how to share education and knowledge. But then he went back to an empty house and no one to listen to him. And he said he went through 5 years, and he said, I went through, and so I got help. And he said, the help didn't really work. He says, but you, today, he says, this is an hour and 42 minutes, he said, you today have reminded me what I needed to do. I needed to talk to people. I didn't need to lock myself. And he said, I'll tell you now, he said, I started talking to the flowers. Gardening for him was his first kind of opening up and saying, Jesus, he nearly said hello to them in the morning, and he was cultivating them. And this might sound stupid, but the flowers became nearly his pupils. He was looking after them, and he was nurturing the garden and whatnot. And again, he says, now I'm flying, thank God. Absolutely. Right. But he recognized and he hit. And you're going, what part of that is not tangible in all people's lives? Yeah. We can all pull a little bit out of it. But he said, today, you've reminded me what is very important is to talk to people. And man says, open up to them and admit your failings, but also man says, point out your strengths. And the biggest strength I heard in a lot of people was they went through hard times, and they were going through a hard time. Now I'm talking to people in the midst of May and June that are very hard. And we didn't know where the light was going to come from. But I heard no negativity. Absolutely no negativity. that, oh, do you think? One man, Georgie, his wife had been went into hospital. It was probably the 10th of April. His wife went into hospital and he was just fearful that she mightn't come out. It wasn't with COVID, but he was just fearful that he mightn't come out. And he turns around and says, Jesus, he says, I didn't tell her I loved her.
God.
You're going, but no positivity. Oh, sorry, no negativity. It was all positive. All positive. And the laughs and the crack I had with some men. Yes. I put the look at it, I'm not saying the male people are not funny, but the Kerry men and the Dublin men were there. And the women. I was talking to a woman in Roscommon that burnt the Sunday potato. She was boiling the spuds and she says, only for no one else, she said, David Brady, when I burn the Sunday roast.
Well, the Kerry people owe you, in fairness. They owe you.
They do, yeah. Christ above. And again, God. it was nice. And look at,
I'd say it was an amazing thing to experience. You know,
like, and you know what? Everyone did it. You did it to your neighbour or to your friend or someone that was a stranger to you on the street. It turned out that on one Saturday I rang Paddy Prendergast from Mayo, right? The only survivor of 19 survivor, and not really said, the only person that's still with us, thankfully today, from 1951. And that was probably the conversation where I didn't listen. I was asking him that I was in this, telling me this, and what was it like, and all was it much crack? And he came back, he said, David, it's not about the medal. He says, he talked about Gerald Corelli, talked about Willie Casey and John Furr. These are all people that were there and part of 51, but yeah, from my town. He kept going back to people. And who was in the house with him the night before, like, sitting out the back garden? Aidan O'Mahony, as a guard. Uh-huh. And you're going, that's just not because we played county football. It's because we hopefully all learned some lesson to say, how's things?
Yeah. And it's brilliant. I'm not surprised you said that loss was one of the reoccurring themes with people, because I mean, that's just the nature of life, isn't it? And we're all aware of the passage of time and looking back, and there's great, great sunny days behind us. And that comes to people's minds at a time like this. And then I'm not surprised as well. So many were so glad to get the phone call, because we're all rushing around. We're stuck in traffic. We're busy. We got work. But just to stop and actually really chat to someone is a rarity at times. Yeah.
And you know what? I was going nowhere. In the time period of Easter Saturday, April, May, June, for 3 months solid, every phone I rang, every phone was answered straight away, because where else should you be?
Yeah.
You weren't going to be anywhere else but in the house. You know what I mean? Yeah. From that period of lockdown. And you know, I'm talking to people, and even if we look back, and I did look back, and look at, we're passionate in Mayo. But let me tell you, last May, 12 months, so fast forward 12 months, we're in the middle of lockdown. The previous May, we were having the time of our lives in New York.
Oh, yeah, of course.
No play in New York, championship, the crack, the fun, the banter. Man says, Fifth Avenue, it's like Central Park. You're over in Gaelic Park. 12 months later, you're going, oh my God, what a good time we had. Mm. And I think every moment we get will be savored as whether it's, look at the people climbing over walls at the minute, on cherry pickers, on ladders, just to get a glimpse. And it's not really about the fucking game.
No.
It's just to get a glimpse of that's a little bit of normality. That's reality to me, because I'm a GAA person. It's what I understand, and it's something that means something.
Did I see you roped in a few other inter-county players hurling and football to do a few calls here and there? Is that right?
Yeah, and look at it. That's nice. And Alan Brogan, again, said, if you want to talk to GAA, and you could see, and the numerous conversations that Alan had. I even met him 4 days ago. I says, I have one more for you, if you don't mind. I actually need to send it to him, because there's a man in Kildare that I need him to ring. But Johnny Doyle did it. Johnny went to an old folks' home, had conversations with him, said, look it, I'll talk. Monaghan boys did it. You know?
Yeah.
Carlow boys did it. Just listen here, look, if you need to talk, we're willing to talk. You see, I see Noel Mead is at it now, the horse trainer. So, like, man says, if I had one negative phone call, it was from the man that more or less, if he can sugarcoat it, I wasn't his cup of tea. But his hero, he was a hurling man. His hero was Henry Shefflin. This guy is an Oran Mór, 83-year-old. I said, right, like you, I, man says, we all can get numbers if we really want them. And I got Henry's and I gave him a message and I said, would you? And done. And the grandnephew of this man says, you've never seen a look on an old man's face as happy getting a phone call from the king himself. Like,
nice.
Yeah. And you know what? This is us talking us on the airwaves and radio. But there's people that's done it for neighbours and strangers across Ireland. And we can be as negative as we want. And I just think the amount of positive things that people have done that I always say, if it's gone unnoticed, you'll never be a worse person for doing it. And that's what it is. You do it and it reciprocates, and that pebble of goodness and act of kindness, and it's clinically proven, an act of kindness creates multiple more acts and deeds.
It's a beautiful thing to do. You have an empathetic streak in you, a very charitable streak in you. This whole venture is amazing, really, when you think about it, because it would have been a perfect time to be selfish and look after yourself. I remember speaking to you before around the time of the homeless sleep out, and you were in studio and geez, the tears weren't far away. And then even when we were in chatting Lake Regale and you're remembering Martin Carney and his family sending you letters before big Mayo games, tears weren't far away there. So there's a real empathetic, emotional streak to you. Where do you get that from, do you think?
I'd say my grandfather.
Right.
Yeah. They used to say that he used to nearly cry at the Angelus. But I always say, Joe, if the amount of good that people have done for me, like, you can only give a bit back, but you can never quantify what people did for you and sacrifice time and effort. All I'm doing, and all you do, and you do it. Now, we all do it in our own certain way, is do something for somebody else because it's been done for you before.
Mm.
That's the truth. And what are we here in life for? Not here to, Nancy's, we won't be taking, there's no tow bar in the house. You know that. And you'll have a lot more to take than I'll ever have to take out.
But, right.
The thing is, yeah, did I get such a kick of them phone calls? Do I get a, if it is dealing with Brother Kevin in the Capuchin Centre and trying to help the homeless or to raise money for charity, I feel that I have a willingness and I have the opportunity also. And that opportunity is given to me from the people that have taught me to say, right, don't always think about yourself. And if you can't do a good deed, don't do it at all. But it's brilliant. It's brilliant. And I go back, we're back at it, Joe. We have football. We have football back. We need to take care of it. We can't complain that's only 200, not 400. But the amount of the respect that the clubs have shown to each other and to the association, to say we have an opportunity now as clubs with only 200 people to make this work for the whole country and right down to the inter-county senior teams. And there's only going to be an All-Ireland final if the clubs lead from the front and do and carry out the work as diligent and as methodical as it is now in preventing this virus. And again, I've learned that your club and the club is everything. Because it's a community based and it's so important to everyone. in all walks of life. Mm.
Before I let you go, you mentioned Jack Charlton there, and it suddenly strikes me, Ballina man that you are, you must have come across Jack back in the day, or have a memory or two of Jack, because he was so synonymous with the town. I mean, he was there a lot.
Jesus, Jack. And you know what? It was. We never took him for granted, but he was there a lot. He was just one of us. He was just Jack. Big Jack Charlton was in town originally when we started off, and there was. I live about 2.5 miles from the town. Up the town, you'd walk up the town, walk the bridges, and once you see one fisherman sitting out in the river, they all look the same, really, because they have the waders and the. But it was the cap that really identified Jack. And okay. The crowds that gathered around him, and I raced pigs down the main street of Ballina with him. Myself, Liam McHale, Joe Corcoran, Lord rest him, Jack Charlton. I'm not sure that Bertie Hearn actually raced him as well. It was the Ballina Salmon Festival.
Oh, the Salmon Festival, yeah.
And we had to shoo these pigs down the middle of the main street. This is in 96, I think it was. And then you'd have Jack be in the pub, and the common denominator of conversation was how the fishing, because we all knew about fishing. Yeah. Like, I didn't know about soccer, he didn't really know about GAA, but it was how the fishing, Jack, how's it going? All right, yeah. And you'd have the conversation. He'd stop in the street, lovely man. And then for me, in 2005, when we won the All-Ireland, coming into Ballina, you have the railway station, and across to the right is the My Heights. And who's there? 6'6", in a big cap, and a big smile on his face, waving a flag, greeting the Ballina Stephenites as we won the All-Ireland is Jack Charlton. Because he was part of the community. He felt he was Ballina, and we were Ballina, and he was out. And there is, I'll never forget it, because you're going, wow, there is an icon. There's a man that has brought us out onto the streets, in every street in Ireland, on certain occasions, celebrating. And there he's waving the flag at us. He must have done something right. And I would, and he was a very, very close affinity. Like, I read there what his wife said, we have a house in north of England, Newcastle. We have a house up in the Cumbrias, or whatever you call it. We have a house over in Spain. We have a house in Ballina. And Jack says, every time I ask the wife, where do you want to go to? Ballina.
Heard that clip, yeah.
That's what it meant to him. And there's a family, the Henrys in Ballina, that he went staying first of all as a B&B, and then he bought a house 2 doors up for them. They were very, very close, but everyone in Ballina had an affinity with Jack, and he will be. It was nice that they remembered him on the mural across from the Ridge Pool. And you know what? If ever the Salmon Festival really gets up and going, it's been called off this year. But you'd have an opportunity to call it the Jack Charlton Salmon Festival.
That's a nice idea.
You know, and again, you're going from a tourist perspective. You build on that.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Is the Salmon Festival still going strong?
July.
Bar this year, obviously, but generally, is it?
You know what? It kind of stumbled in the last year or two.
Did it? Because, it was huge back in the day.
Massive, massive. And it was always kind of final weekend, so we could never... We could never have pints. It was always the fireworks.
Just race pigs, no pints.
We raced the pigs on a Monday. I don't know who. I think actually the two pigs raced me and Liam McHale that day.
Oh dear! I must. Yeah. We've got to dig out video footage of that. It's definitely been knocking around somewhere.
Jesus, yeah. It wouldn't be right to look at it now. In all fairness, Lance is animal rights and everything else.
You're sitting on the pigs, are you?
Oh, Jesus Christ, no. You can imagine Liam McHale, 19 stone, after a feed of water.
But then there's no problem. I mean, they're allowed a quick jog.
Yeah, you were trying to ruffle the plastic bag behind them give them some sense of noise. And yeah, so there was, look, they were squealing, we were squealing, the crowd was squealing.
Oh, dear.
It used to have the donkey derbies, but then it kind of, man says, whittled down to the pigs. Now it's just, I think it's a duck race, now we have.
Oh, dear. Wait, that's a memory. Jeez, World Cup winner and icon welcoming ye home after winning All-Ireland.
Yeah, it was nice. It was nice. Very fondly remembered by all in Ballina. But look at, we never, and I'm going back to the start of the conversation, we've all went through a time now in the last 4 months. We're out on the side of it. But let's always take the positive and the learning lessons from it. Like Joy said to you there before, just before we come on air, how do you talk in a sports show without any sport for 3 or 4 months. Like,
it's a lot of nonsense. A lot of nonsense.
It wasn't either. It was very enjoyable, and it was a credit to you. But you know what? In times of adversity, you either man's it through in the towel, or do you carry on as best you can? That's all you can do, and that's what people did, and that's what you did. And man's it's anything else is a little bit extra.
Well, listen, it's been great catching up with you. So again, The Toughest Summer is what this is called. And your episode, there's 5 of them, but your episode goes out youtube.com/AIB on Thursday. So I'll be having a look at that on Thursday, all the thanks to AIB and The Toughest Summer.
I look forward. I haven't seen it myself.
You haven't seen it? Right, okay.
No.
Right,
okay. And the documentary is coming out the night of the All-Ireland.
Ah, super. Okay.
The night that the All-Ireland should have been on.
But should have been on. Okay.
Yeah, or something like at the end of August.
Time is against me. It is it's a beautiful thing. A beautiful thing that you've done, genuinely. I read about it. I thought, it's so David Brady. I just couldn't think of someone more likely to do it. It's a fantastic thing. So fair play to you. To the man whose grandfather cried at the Angelus. We'll see you again. Good luck.
Talk to you. See you, Joe. God bless, buddy.
All right. Bye-bye.
That was an OTB Podcast Network presentation.